Scripture reading this morning will be from Proverbs chapter 31, verses 28. Proverbs 31, 28. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her.
Glad to see everyone with us here this morning. Happy Mother's Day, as Randy extended that to our mothers here with us this morning. So glad that you are here with us. Spend this day with us here in worship to our God. A mother laughs our laughter. A mother sheds our tears, returns our love, fears our fears. She lives our joys. She cares our cares and all our hopes and dreams. She shares. What a wonderful poem to describe a mother. There's no doubt that our mothers share our laughters. They share everything that we do in life. Another poem has been written. It says, "You may have tangible wealth untold, caskets of jewels and coffers of gold. But richer than I, you can never be, because I had a mother who read to me." Mother spending time with her child. Colin just read for us Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 28. And there have been countless articles and books written about women being a Proverbs 31 type of woman. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 28, as Colin just read for us, we read, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." First, we're going to discuss mothers this morning, as you may have already guessed. We're going to look at it from this point of view. A mother's jewelry box. And in that jewelry box, we're going to find four particular types of jewels. And of course, women like diamonds, so we'll begin with diamonds. But then we'll look at sapphires, and then pearls, and then garnets. But number one this morning, when we look into a mother's jewelry box, here's what I hope that we find. When we look into a mother's jewelry box, number one, we ought to find a diamond of devotion. A diamond of devotion. Devotion is a passionate, unwavering dedication to a person or principle. Devotion is a word that no doubt describes a loving mother. Devotion is a word that no doubt describes a godly mother. And as we look at our Bibles, we see many great examples of mother's devotion found there in Scripture. But friends, I want us to notice one in particular this morning, and she'll be the principal woman that we look at, the principal mother that we look at for our entire lesson. And I want you to be turning with me to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 5. 1 Samuel chapter 1, rather. I'm sorry. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5. First Samuel chapter 1, verse 5. Here we come to the account of Samuel. Elkanah has two wives. One of those wives, her name is Hannah. And Hannah is without child, without children. And here we read in 1 Samuel chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. "But to Hannah he gave a worthy portion," or double portion, "for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb." Here in this particular day and age, when we're looking at Hannah and we're seeing her in this particular circumstance, we need to remember that during this time, during this day, that a woman that was not able to bear children was scorned by other women that were of childbearing age. They did not hold very high regard, other women did not, that had children, for a woman that could not bear. And so you can imagine the anguish that Hannah must have felt. Being of childbearing age, having a husband and not being able to bear a child, being able to give a son to her husband or a daughter. And so she felt this great anguish But the Lord, the scripture says, the Lord had closed her womb. We drop down to verse 10, and we notice that she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore, or wept in anguish. Friends, we might ask the question, why was Hannah so bitter? Well, of course, she didn't have a child. She wasn't able to give that to her husband. She wasn't able to feel the joy at this point of being a mother. And it didn't matter what Elkanah did to try to comfort her. Nothing he said, nothing he did could console her. She wanted a child that badly. She wanted to have a baby. As I said, women who did not have children in those days were looked down upon. But then if we read a little bit deeper into 1 Samuel chapter 1, we begin to see that Elkanah's second wife didn't help matters any, did she? Day after day after day, she antagonized Hannah. Day after day after day, she reminded Hannah of the fact, I have children and you don't. Hannah was antagonized. How badly did Hannah want a child? Friends, if only, all mothers or would-be mothers possessed Hannah's desire for a child. Many times when people talk about abortion today, and those that are on the pro-choice, so to speak, side of things, they want to say, well, you know, this person ought to get an abortion because of health reasons. It's not going to be good for her mentally to have a child right now, or so forth and so on. Friends, there has been research. And there are concrete numbers out there that while many people try to cite health reasons for having an abortion, statistics show, and you can find this. I Googled it last night. 93% of all abortions, 93% of all abortions occur for some social reason. It's an inconvenient time. I just don't want this child at this time. Whatever the reason may be, 93% of all abortions occur for social reasons. Only 6% occur for health reasons. Risk to the mother's health, whatever the case may be. Let's let that set in. If only all mothers or would-be mothers had the desire that Hannah had for a child, would have that type of devotion. But friends, I fear that the lack of devotion may result from a lack of appreciation for the gift of being a mother. Why was Hannah so bitter? She did not have a child. If you're still there in 1 Samuel chapter 1, I want you to begin reading with me again in verse 19. Verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Now, in the preceding verses, we read there of a prayer that Hannah made, asking for a child. Eli thought she was drunk, seeing her lips moving, but hearing no sound come out. And when Hannah explained herself, Eli said that the Lord would do to her as she had requested. Now here we find it happening. Verse 19, the Lord remembered her, it says. Now verse 20, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned. And then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and thereby forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him, only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. My friends, do you see the devotion of Hannah? She had made a promise unto God that if he would somehow give her this child, that she would devote her life into being sure that he served God. She would lend him, she said, unto the Lord. And for all his life, he would be lent unto the Lord. He would become a priest. He would administer to the people of the Lord. We go on and we read in chapter 2, verses 18 through 21. I want you to see her devotion to her son, her devotion to her husband, and her devotion to her God. Beginning in verse 19. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. She did not forget her son that she had left there. She remembered him yearly. She spent the year leading up to the time to go and offer that sacrifice, making him a coat, and brought it to him from year to year, the scripture says. Verse 20, and Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went into their own house, and the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Friends, little can compare to the devotion that a mother has for her children. What other person? Let me ask you. Ashley and I were going through some newspaper clippings that my mother had saved some time back. And one of those newspaper clippings had a picture of my mom and my dad bundled up as much as they could be at a baseball game in early March. Well, the temperature, game time temperature, was about 34 degrees. Who else would be so devoted to her child that she would go and sit out in that kind of weather to watch a baseball game, a game she really doesn't even understand the rules about, just because her son was playing? What other person would have the devotion that it would take to spend the countless hours to make a coat to take to her son each year? What other person would show such devotion that she would give him unto the Lord? As did Hannah. That diamond of devotion, friends, should be displayed in at least 3 different areas. A mother's diamond of devotion should be displayed to her God in fulfilling her obligations to Him. Titus 2, 3 through 5. That diamond of devotion should be displayed to her husband in honoring, loving, and submitting to Him, as we read in Ephesians 5, 22 and 25. And as we're talking about this morning, to her children. In her love for that child, and disciplining that child as he ought to be disciplined, and advising that child in the way that he ought to go, and concern for that child, and prayer for that child. Friends, I dare say that Hannah never quit praying for Samuel. As we continue to look in a mother's jewelry box, we find there a sapphire of selflessness. Friend, is there any better term, really? Is there any better term that can be used to identify a godly mother than this word selflessness? A mother gives up much of herself to tend to her children. And this word is a mother. A mother is this word personified, rather. You may not have heard of this woman, Vicki Gavin. But in August of 2009, Robert Gavin held his newborn son, Patrick, all because of the selflessness of Patrick's mother, Vicki. At only age 26, Vicky discovered she had cancer just a few weeks after learning that she was pregnant for the third time. Of course, doctors recommended an immediate abortion and for her to begin treatments. Friends, Vicky refused treatment. She even refused scans or tests that would in any way harm or potentially harm her unborn son. Now, Vicky did not live to see her son's first birthday. But he will celebrate it and his mother's life because of the selflessness that she showed for him. She didn't think about herself. She could have aborted Patrick and had treatments, and most likely they could have done something with the cancer, and she'd have lived, gone to live a full life. But after learning that she was pregnant, she had already begun to love that son so much. She was already that devoted to him that it didn't matter what it cost her. She was going to live for him. And it cost her her life. But she brought into this world a new one. Selflessness. A mother is that word, a godly mother is that word personified. We'll continue to read as we've just read there in 1 Samuel chapter 1. But again, verses 26 through 28. Read the words you see there on the screen. Now Hannah had determined before the child was ever born. She had made the determination within herself that before the child was ever born, that he would belong to the Lord. It did not matter how badly she wanted that child. It did not matter how badly that she most likely wanted to keep Samuel with her. She had promised him unto the Lord. She was going to do everything within her power to see that he was a follower of God Almighty. Friends, a godly mother makes a determination to rear her children or her child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. A godly mother prays for her children. Do you see that with Hannah? There could be no doubt that Hannah was a selfless mother. Let's continue to dig in the mother's jewelry box, and then we find a pearl of purity. A pearl of purity. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We read these words. Peter writes, "Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." What is this passage telling us? Wives, mothers, you be subject to your own husband. Be submissive to your own husband. He's unique to you because he's yours. You submit to him. That even in the context here, concerning husbands that are not Christians, those that have not obeyed the word of God. But you live in such a way by being submissive to him and what he asks of you, in accordance with God's word, of course, that you, without even saying a word, don't even have to open the book, you can convert him without a word, he says, simply by your conduct, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Friends, a godly mother is going to determine to follow God and remain pure in accordance with God's will. A godly mother is going to give her children the example of a godly wife in being submissive to her husband and chaste in conduct. Friends, what better example? What better example can a mother give a daughter than showing her how to conduct herself with her husband? What better example can a mother give her son than to show him what he should be looking for in a wife? We continue in 1 Peter chapter 3 and we read verses 3 and 4. Peter says, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Friends, when children see their mother put the emphasis on the inner person, rather than the outward appearance, they can't help but be better for it. Notice that Peter says such an attitude and lifestyle is very precious in the sight of God. How does God think about this woman that Peter describes? She is precious to Him. He holds her dear. Very precious in the sight of God. Friends, when a mother lives a pure life before her children, she can be assured that they see that, and that they'll know that she as a godly mother cares for their soul and wants them to be right with God. Then we notice the garment of godliness. Friends, godliness is the crown jewel. It is the crown jewel of a mother's jewelry box. It is that which makes even the good things better. I want you to turn with me back to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, and we'll leave you with this. Begin reading with me in verse 10. Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hand. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. She reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue in the law of kindness is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the wage of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her." Oh, what a woman to be a Proverbs 31 woman. To be that type of mother. And as we look at the mother's jewelry box, we see indeed a diamond of devotion. Indeed, we see a sapphire of selflessness. We see a pearl of purity and a garnet of godliness. Put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. All of the things that we have discussed this morning concerning the mother's jewelry box, and those jewels that we discussed concerning devotion, selflessness, purity, and godliness, friends, while indeed that describes a godly mother, it ought to describe every Christian. every person that lives for God. If one would be a Christian, friends, he needs to be devoted unto God and His Word. He needs to sacrifice himself for the cause of Christ. He needs to live a pure life before God Almighty. And of course, live a godly life, so that others may be able to glorify our Father which is in heaven. Friend, if you are here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, why not? The Word says, God's Word says, that we must obey Him if we are to have the hope of heaven. Are you here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Would you do so this morning? Would you put Christ on in baptism to wash away your sins, that you might be white as snow, that you may be one with Him? Would you be devoted to Him? Give yourself up for Him. Live a pure life before Him. And be godly before others. Friend, if you would do that this morning, we ask that you come in just a moment. But friend, if you're here and you've been baptized, you've been added to the Lord's church, have you fallen away? Is there something amiss in your life that you need to make right? If that's the case, friend, would you come now while we stand and while we sing?